HarperCollins and Harper Audio present The Consequences of Fear, a Maisie Dobbs novel by Jacqueline Winspear, performed by Orla Cassidy. Fear makes us feel our humanity. Benjamin Disraeli. Prologue. St. Ermine's Hotel, Caxton Street, Westminster, Friday evening, October 3rd, 1941.
Right, son. This one's going to that address in Leaveston Road. You go over Vauxhall Bridge, and after a few lefts, you're almost there. Know where it is?
The porter pointed to the handwritten address on the envelope as he handed it across the desk to the boy, who grasped it, ready to leave for his next destination.
"Reckon I know it," said the boy, glancing at the address. "It's on my way home."
"Not so fast, young Freddy Hackett. You might have to leg it back here with a reply before you can run all the way to your gaff. The bloke you give this to will let you know."
The porter glanced at the boy over half-moon glasses, pulled a fob watch from his waistcoat pocket, and nodded as he checked the time. He regarded the boy again.
"Now you mind how you go, laddie. This runs a good couple of miles, so let's hope he don't have a return message. You're quick on your pins, all right. But them bloody Jerry bombers are at it again."
"I'm like a cat, Mr. Larkin. I can see in the dark."
The boy grinned and held out his hand, wiggling his fingers.
"Don't you worry, I wouldn't forget this."
The porter reached into his pocket and brought out a shilling, then flicked it toward the boy. The boy caught it between two fingers, slipped the money into his jacket pocket, fastened the safety pin to keep the pocket closed, and pushed the envelope into his trouser band, covering it with his pullover. Then he was gone.
"Poor little bugger," thought Larkin, as he made his way back into the foyer. "Poor little legs running all over the bleeming place. Don't I get all four eight?"
Larkin looked up as a large man in a well-cut pinstripe suit descended the sweeping staircase, leading to the upper floors of a grand building that seemed designed to give an impression of strength and yet genteel hospitality, as one might expect of a hotel with a series of upstairs rooms requisitioned by clandestine government services.
"Yes, sir, Mr. McFarlane. He just left."
McFarlane ran a hand across hair that was fast balding and nodded.
"You don't like it any more than I do, Larkin. Sending boys not old enough to shave off along the streets of London when bombs are falling."
"Can't say as I do, Mr. McFarlane. But that one has got some speed to him, make no mistake.
I reckon he could run a marathon, could young Freddy Hackett? The air raid precautions boards who recruited him when they went round the schools, well, they said he was the fastest runner they'd seen, and with enough speed on him to go to the Olympics one day." "Good. We can all be there to watch him get his gold and beat Hitler's bloody Germans," said McFarlane. "Not a chance. By the time this war is over and they get around to having an Olympics, I'd say his best will have passed him by. That's if he comes out the other side, poor little bugger, he's only 12. "And he's not the only one out there, Larkin. Not the only youngster doing war work."
The porter nodded and tapped an evening newspaper he'd picked up from a nearby table.
"Seen this? Turns out Hitler has said that the Germans have all but destroyed Russia, and that they can beat all possible enemies, no matter how much money they've got, even billions. What do you reckon to that, Mr. McFarlane? Sticking his neck out a bit, don't you think?"
McFarlane raised his eyebrows as he answered in a low voice.
"Probably trying to weave a red cape at the Yanks, is my guess. Trying to pull them in so he can see he's knocking them into the next world."
He looked at his watch.
"Right, I'm leaving. Got to see a man about a dog, and then I'm off to Baker Street."
Larkin smiled as McFarlane turned and made his way toward the side entrance.
"Got to see a man about a dog. See a pint or two in the coolings of Skye, more."
Sample complete. Ready to continue?